Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of You Enjoy Life. This is the podcast that's all about just kind of helping you tap into the joy of your life, really helping you get more clear on what are the things that you love doing. How can you find more inspiration throughout the day? How can you find more peace? How can you find more excitement? And also just kind of step outside of the kind of normal condition box of reality. Today, I have a few things I would like to talk to you about, and I really want to lead the way with someone who just wrote in recently. And if you don't know, one of the big things I do on this podcast is anyone that's listening right now, and anyone can send me an email. And if you're struggling with something, if you have questions, you're trying to get some clarity, I'm going to do my best to share some insight with you. And listen, I'm not an expert. I'm not someone who has it all figured out by any means, but I am here sharing my experiences, sharing my stories, using my voice to help inspire you to try something different, you know, to look at something in a different way, in a different manner, all with the goal of just creating more connection. Because the truth is, like, in life, there's so much that can happen that makes us feel disconnected. And a big thing about this podcast that I love is just reminding you that you're not alone. It's something I have to remind myself every single day. It can be very hard to feel not alone because I think we look at ourselves as such separate from everyone else. You know, feeling, maybe it's just me, but I think it's most people, it's like you're at a party or in a social gathering. And I find myself a lot like this where, you know, I can have conversations, good conversations with people, but a lot of times I look around and everywhere I look, I see people having conversations. And I'm like, how do these people get into these conversations? It's like everyone at the party seems to be having a conversation except for me. I'm just alone standing there kind of looking around. And I always think to myself, I'm like, how do people end up in conversations? How do I end up in conversations? You know, and it's really easy to like kind of separate yourself from everything and assume that all the people out there that you see are having this great time and they feel connected and they feel alive and everything's great. When in fact, you know, in a lot of ways, people feel alone and they do feel disconnected. And I think it's, to me, reminding myself that everyone feels that, I feel more connected. You know, it's like by looking at everyone and remembering that most people, like when they're in conversations or just throughout their day, they feel some sort of disconnect. They feel like they're the only one, or they're hiding something, or they're kind of like in this world that no one gets, you know, or they're in their head or whatever it is. It's like, we all do that. So if I can offer you one thing just to start, if you do feel that, no, you're not alone. You know, I feel that a lot. And I also really value having good connections. I'm the kind of person who, you know, when I go to a party or a gathering or whatever it is, I tend to gravitate towards like one person. You know, I tend to find one person that has like something interesting to share, maybe a common interest, and I tend to talk to that person for a while. I'm not someone who's good in groups. I find that, you know, when you're in a group, unless like you're in like a kind of thoughtful, mindful group, like I do this, I have two men's groups I'm part of, one that I started, and we did, but last night there was 20 men going around and it's more curated. You know, we have a topic and last night was, you know, intuition, and everyone goes around and we talk and there's questions and stories. And in a group like that, I love it because I can listen, I can learn, I can share input. When it comes to just like standing around in a group at a party and people are just sharing their opinions, it's like people are just waiting to talk. And I never really felt like connected to that. I never really appreciated that state. That's why I always find I gravitate towards one person. I don't mean necessarily one person the entire time, but like, you know, I like having those one-on-one conversations where you can really get to know someone or connect. And even before I really got into a lot of this mindful stuff and I was just kind of getting started, I'd find I would go to bars. I don't go to bars really anymore. And when I was still drinking, living in New York City. And I kind of started doing this thing where instead of just going around and drinking and dancing and whatever, I would find one person. I would just have the sense of like, okay, I'm supposed to talk to this person. And by the end of the night, that person was like ready to quit their job, having these revelations. And I just like, I don't know, I enjoyed like being able to take people to those places. And what I found was anyone, at least almost anyone in the world, when you get them alone, when you find people who are alone and you find someone who's like, you know, willing to just go there, amazing things happen. And what I really saw was that most people, when they're not in their like little group, you know, or they're not kind of feeling judged by their peers and trying to fit in, when I am willing to take the conversation to a deeper place, you know, and to kind of really open them up and open myself up, that most people like have deeper thoughts than I realize. Even like I could, you know, meet the guy who's like the total jock and, you know, end up having a conversation with him at a bar or something. And he seems like the guy who would just be like, yo, what's up, bro? And like football and this. And around his friends, he's like that. But the minute I go somewhere else and I create a safe space where he feels like he can trust me and talk to me and open up, it's amazing what people think about. That's why I've learned not to judge people, because we tend to judge people based on how we see them by their outside appearance, when we see them in their kind of normal setting, normal environment. And people create up these personas because they're trying to survive, you know? It's like, let's say you're, you know, a confident lawyer. You might assume that that person is that way, the way they are in court, you know, the way they are around their clients and everything. But that's just their persona to do their job, you know, and they're good at it. So they like to maybe kind of hide behind it. When in fact, the reality is, like, most people, from what I've seen, you strip them away of that. You put them in a different situation, uncomfortable. Their confidence might go out the window, or they might let their guard down, you know, and you have to create the space. And I think one thing I've always seen for myself is I'm there to create the space for other people. I've never really felt like I was part of a group. I've had a lot of different groups of friends over my lifetime, and I've always valued all those groups, but I never felt like, okay, this is my group. I've always been kind of a floater, and I think that's just because I don't know, I don't feel attached to any one thing. I like making friends with people that I like making friends with. You know, I don't feel like I need to be part of a group dynamic to create real, intense, amazing connections. And there's still ways to build up community doing that, and that's just something that I, you know, experienced. So I really want to kick this podcast off with an email that I just got from someone. And of course, whenever you send an email, I will never name your name. You know, if you're sending an email and you want me to read it, I'll read the email and then kind of offer some guidance. And, you know, I will not give any personal details away. So here we go. I'm a college student and I have changed my major countless times and accrued some debt. I'm still not happy with it. And I'm not really sure what even does make me happy at this point. I'm not very passionate about much, and I'm afraid years of consuming has really shaped me into this person. I'm not sure what to do. I haven't been able to break my habits of consuming, nor find anything that really brings a life back into me. I don't have many people to talk to, and I've always tried to solve my problems by smoking the ganja, but I don't see that being sustainable long term. Any advice would be great, and thank you for your time. Longtime fan. All right. So first off, as always, for anyone that writes in and the person that just wrote in, thank you for just being vulnerable and sharing. I think there's a huge step people forget, a huge step that people forget, that just sharing is phenomenal. Just literally sharing what you're going through is a gigantic step, and it got also a gigantic breakthrough in like being able to open yourself up, because most people wouldn't even do that. Most people would sit there and they would listen and they'd think about it, and then fear would talk them out of it. So I know in your email that there's something inside of you that is in there. You know, there's something inside of you that is passionate. There's something inside of you that does want help, that does want more. They say when people are really down and out, you know, and they reach out for help, even if it's really bad, you know, even if they're in a really dark place, it can be like a suicidal, depressed place. If they reach out, that means that there's something, you know, that maybe there's a cry for help, but that means there's something inside that wants them to help. Usually when people don't, that is actually the scary sign. And that is kind of the scary side and sort of the danger of you know, friends who don't speak a lot about what they're going through. And I've had to learn myself to be more open and more honest to the people in my life, because when I don't, that's when I feel really alone. I used to think that by not sharing my dark feelings and the depression and stuff, that it would make me feel closer to people because they wouldn't see me as someone who was depressed. But when I share those things, it's real. And it's in the realness that I've created the true bonds. That's where a lot of connection happens. And I don't mean to do it in a way to wallow, you know, but to really share the things that are going on. I find amazing things happen. So even if you don't have a lot of people to talk to, I'm always trying to be here. And while I can't physically be here for everyone, you know, I do hope this podcast sheds some light and gives you a little hope, gives you a little inspiration. All right, so this one, I read this a couple times before, you know, before I actually read it on the podcast, and it is interesting because, in some ways, like, you know, I can really relate. In other ways, you know, I feel like I can't. But the ganja thing, I can totally relate. You know, it's not a long-term solution. And I think, listen, there are drugs out there, and there are certain drugs that are helpful in the short term, but they can't be a habitual thing. You know, there are people that do all, you know, there's a huge range of, on the one side, prescription drugs, which I've always stayed away from, to things that are more like experiential and hallucinogenic and things that can open your mind up, that I have experimented with and still appreciate and still see like what the potentials are with them. Yes, but I think at the end of the day, drugs are not a long-term solution. I think there's something that maybe you can go into and learn something, but it's still you. You know, and you have this outside influence to help you see differently and see outside of the box. But if you're not using it for that reason, well, then it can become a problem. So I do not recommend drugs in a situation like this. Now, one thing you said was, I'm not very passionate about much, and I'm, you know, afraid years of consuming have really shaped me into this person. And I think that is a huge part. So I want to actually talk about something that my wife and I developed called EVCO. And if anyone is familiar, we did a program called Feed the Change, which is all about breaking bad habits, like bad eating habits, you know, breaking your bad eating habits to kind of like learn to heal yourself through food. And the principle of this program is something that we developed called EVCO. And EVCO stands for Evolution of Conscious Consumption. And each piece has a different element to it, but you can apply it to anything. So evolution is, you know, we think of evolution as Darwin and evolution, but what it really is to me is growth. So when you're evolving, you're changing, right? You're as time you're adapting, you're learning, you're changing to fit your environment. Consciousness is awareness. So consciousness is the thing that we are, like who we are, everything that we take in is our consciousness. And consumption is how we consume everything that we take in. So just follow me for a second. It'll start to make more sense. So we are beings who take in so much every day. And our consciousness is us. You know, it's, and what we're consuming creates who we are in our life. And with evolution, we're not just growing forward. We assume that evolution is like always positive, but we can evolve, you know, either way. We can evolve in a way that suits us better, or we can evolve in a way that hurts us. There's no really staying in the middle. It's kind of like one way or another. So what happens is, the more conscious we are of how we consume, so if we're aware, we're always consuming whether we're aware of it or not. Now, the more conscious we are of what we're consuming, the more we can evolve in a way that actually helps us. The more we can evolve in a way that actually pushes us forward. Because if we're not conscious and we're just taking things in, bad things can happen. And I think back to like being, I remember the first time I kind of like awoke to the sense that I was this human. And it was a crazy experience. One day I was like, just, I don't know, through playing music and doing different things, I just became aware. I was like, wait a second, whoa, I am this person. And I've spent my life having all these things happen to me and making all these decisions about myself and my life and choices based on all the things that were happening, but I wasn't aware they were just happening. Yeah, I was making little choices, what I want to eat, where I want to go, but like real big decisions I wasn't aware of. So in the process, I took on a lot of bad things. I took on a lot of negativity. I took on a lot of self-esteem issues. And suddenly I'm this aware person who's aware of all these things, and now I have to do something about it. And that is the consciousness I'm talking about. And whether you want to or not, you are responsible for you. You can blame other people, you can point fingers, you can look at your parents, family, society, government, whatever, but you are still responsible for yourself. And no amount of pointing fingers and blaming is ever gonna change that or help that. So when you become a conscious consumer, when you become someone who is aware, things change. And that's where EVCO comes in. Evolution, conscious consumption. The more conscious you are of what you're consuming, the more aware you are of the choices that you are making, the more you evolve in a way that is positive and beneficial for you. And it doesn't just happen overnight. It takes a long, 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 long time. Now, one thing, I will recommend a book. I'll recommend two books. One is a book that I wrote called Official Intelligent Beings, and you can find it on Amazon. And if I remember, I'll put a link below, but you can always just send me an email. It's called Official Intelligent Beings, and it's actually a three-part series, and two books are already out. And the kind of whole idea is that there is this person, the main character, is living in this kind of futuristic world, and he's a sort of social media kind of star, but things just aren't quite right in the world. And in the world, there's these intelligent beings, the official intelligent beings, who kind of know everything about everything, and people just kind of blindly follow them. But there are a few people who are like, something's not quite right, you know, and this character is kind of trying to follow that and creating more awareness in his life. That's just a book that I enjoy. It was a very just passion project that literally just happened one day. I had no plan to write a book, but one day I sat down and, you know, 2 weeks later I had the first draft done. And within 3 months, the book was published and out. And that was a fun thing to do. But there's another book that really changed my life that I've mentioned once before, which is called Spiritual Enlightenment, The Damnedest Thing. And the reason I share this book is because it came to me at a time when I was very confused and I didn't know what to do. And it put life in a certain perspective that just kind of changed everything. It helped me tap into that sort of higher internal flow in the world. It made me realize that all the thoughts I had about consciousness and spirituality, enlightenment, all that stuff, they were all kind of made up and lies. And there was something much deeper, much more profound and intense waiting for me that allowed me just to open up my life in such a magical, wild, big way. So check that book out. It's called Spiritual Enlightenment, The Damnedest Thing, by someone named Jed McKenna. And he's got a whole series of books. That's actually a 3-part book. It's a trilogy as well. But start with the first one and see what you think. And I recommend that to anyone who's looking to just kind of see things a little bit differently and wants to create some freedom in their life. It is an intense book. It's easy to read, but it's a book that, like, when you step into it, you don't step into it unless you're willing to, like, make big changes in your life. And I don't even say, like, it's not like a self-help book where you're like, I'm committed to doing this, this, and this. It's like, it's a book that kind of lights your life on fire metaphorically. Like, it burns all the crap to the ground. And I do share that because it seems like, you know, you're in a place where you don't really have people to talk to, and, you know, you want to make some changes, and you've been accruing some debt, and you're just not happy with where your life is. So I hope that helps you in some way. And also, just for me, passion is an interesting thing. I know you talked about not being very passionate. And passion isn't just something you have. You know, I go through waves myself. Like, there are days where I'm not passionate, and there are days where I feel like so much passion and so much intensity, like I need to share this. And I think before you can really find passionate, you have to really find your purpose. And purpose can be a weird thing, and there's lots of different ways to look at it. I actually led one of the first men's groups with purpose, and I just wanted to get a sense of what everyone felt their purpose was, or what purpose meant to them. And for some people, it's like giving of themselves. For other people, it's like, you know, sharing what they love, you know, and teaching people, whatever it is. But finding purpose is important, because if you're just going about life doing things because you need to make money, you're never going to be happy. And I think a lot of people are in that state. You know, you hit a certain age where you're like, okay, wow, money, bills, things that I want, you know, consuming, I want to consume more. We live in a society where life just like gets us to want to consume more and more and more. So I'm going to talk about purpose, but I'm going to do a quick break from the sponsor and we'll be right back. So it's sort of come to my attention recently that purpose is at the heart of everything. And that's because if you don't know your purpose, if you're not really aligned with your purpose, how do you know what decisions you're making, and how do you know if they're the right decisions? So last night in a men's group, we talked a lot about intuition. And what I found was interesting about intuition was it's this concept that, like, you know, intuition is like a knowing. It's like a deeper knowing of like what is right, what is wrong. But in order to know that, you have a basis for what right and wrong is for you. So maybe your intuition is like, say you want to make more money. Like, well, my intuition is telling me to buy this stock. But yeah, you can have an intuitive hit and you can be right about that. That stock is going to make you money, or that investment is going to be a good deal. But if you don't know what your purpose is, why you're doing it, if your purpose is just to make money, well, then what does intuition really even matter? Yeah, you're going to make more money, but what is that like actually serving you on a higher level? So if you're someone who feels lost or feels stuck, you need to find a sense of purpose. And I'm not saying like you need to know what you're passionate about. I'm not saying you need to know that your passion is music or drawing or writing or helping people or whatever. I'm talking about what is your actual intrinsic purpose in life. And if you don't know, that's okay. Most people don't. But it's important to get clear about it. And the only way to get clear is to actually start doing some digging. You know, you have to sit down, you have to do writing, you have to look into your life, you have to think about what it is that matters the most to you. And also, what are the things that are maybe holding you back from really seeing your purpose? What are the fears that you have in your world? What are the things that people have told you in your life, you know, whether it's parents or society, whoever, that have made you believe that you don't have a purpose, or your purpose is not what it is, your purpose is somehow lined up with their purpose? Something that was brought up last night was a lot of people who come from religious backgrounds tend to kind of, you know, not appreciate intuition sometimes, because they've been told from a young age, people were kind of instilling their will on others. It's like, oh, well, God told me that you need to do this. Like, God told me that you need to go move here or do this thing. And the problem with that is that it kind of creates a negative and bad taste in our mouth, because if you don't believe that, you know, like you get in this really weird place where, yeah, your parents are telling me that, you know, God wants you to do this or God would want you to do this. It's like, it's almost like manipulation at level, you know. But if you're someone who just doesn't clearly know what your purpose is, digging and writing is really important. And it took me a long time to kind of discover my purpose. And I'm not here to talk about my purpose so much, because to me it ties into a lot of things I've already talked about. But I just want to help you get clear on your purpose. And number one thing I think you can do, like I said, is starting to look for it. And a way you can do that is by writing. One of the things that I love in the book that I talked about, the book about spiritual enlightenment, The Damnedest Thing, is that there's this process of stripping away everything that's not real. And I did a podcast about that, kind of talking about like burning anything that's not real, anything that's, you know, made up, illusion, beliefs, things that are holding you back. You kind of write, and you write to see what's really true for you. And really get to the sense of like, what is really real? Like by writing things that you know to be certain and then examining them. Okay, I believe X, Y, Z, but why do I believe that? You know, it's like, oh, I believe that all humans are here for like, because we're all part of this big experiment and we live in the matrix, whatever weird thing it is or normal thing you have. Or I believe, you know, everyone's here to do good. Or I believe that everyone's evil, whatever it is. Like, getting a sense of what you believe, how the world works, and writing about it and how you fit into all that, and getting a sense of whether it's actually real or not. You know, it's challenging yourself. It's almost playing devil's advocate with yourself, because there's so many things that we're so sure are true, that we're so sure are real, that we get stuck in these loops. And one thing that I find fascinating is, you know, let's say you go to a breakfast place to get breakfast. Right. Let's say you're hungry and you want to go get breakfast. Well, you go, you sit down, you go to your little breakfast spot, delicatessen, whatever, and you look at the menu and you're like looking over, you're like, okay, there's the pancakes, there's the waffles, you know, I could get a fruit parfait if I want to be more healthy. There's the eggs, I get a side of bacon if I want to indulge a little bit, maybe some hash browns, do a nice greasy breakfast, whatever it is. And then you make a choice. And what happens is we assume that whatever choice we make is based on this sort of free will, you know? Oh yeah, I made the choice. I want bacon because I'm feeling like I want bacon. But the reality is there's so many things that happen in our lives that lead us to that moment to make that choice, that even though we think we're always making choices based on free will and decision, most of the time we're actually not. Most of the time it's based on all these external factors and conditioning and things that make us automatically make a choice. You know, and it might sound kind of odd, but it becomes more and more obvious. And I think I talked about this a bit recently, but I was watching a podcast on Joe Rogan talking about free will. And I don't want to get super deep into it, but one of the things they were talking about was just that. People think that they have free will, and they don't realize how much external factors are kind of making decisions for us. So we have the illusion of free will. We do have free will. It is possible, but there's also the illusion of free will because we think we're making a choice, you know, when in fact we're sort of already preconceived decisions are being made. It's already been decided for us based on, you know, what happened in our life. Our choices are based on condition. And the reason I think this is important is because you need to get clear on what those things are. Because the only way to break a habit, and this is where the free will part comes in, and I'm not here to debate free will versus destiny. I actually kind of think they're the same thing, which is a whole nother conversation, but I'm not here to debate that. I'm here to let you know that you need to get clear on what are the external and also sort of hidden subconscious, unconscious forces that are driving you to make the decisions that you're making. Because if you don't have any awareness of them, you're going to continue to make the same decisions, make the same mistakes, and stay stuck in the same place in your life. And that is the key thing here. You know, especially from the email that I got, it's like not really knowing what you're doing, kind of feeling like you're stuck in the same rut and not having people to talk to and not really having a sense of purpose. Like, the only way you can get clear from that is by first getting clear on who you are right now. And you don't need to like fake it. It's like fake it till you make it. No, you don't need to fake who you are. You don't need to say, oh, I'm just going to like pretend to be inspired until one day I'm inspired. No, get clear on who you are. Like, why are you doing the things that you're doing? Why are you stuck in that place? And that's not something that I can tell you. That's only something you can do from doing some serious digging into your life. And that doesn't just happen overnight, but that starts with writing down and doing different exercises to understand why you are the way that you are. You know, because once you get clear on why you're making the decisions that you're making, then you can also start to see what your purpose is. What do you really enjoy doing? You know, one thing I did love about, and I do love about traveling, is that it takes me away from everything else. It takes me away from all the distractions and all the different things I have in my life, and just puts me with very basic things. You know, I've got food, maybe I have my guitar, we were in Spain, my wife and I, and that's it. And it's like, okay, what are the things that I naturally want to do in this space? What do I really enjoy doing? And for me, it's playing music, it's exploring different places, it's trying food, it's cooking, you know, it's having fun and dancing. You know, and part of my purpose is to share those things with people. Like this podcast, it feels like part of my purpose because it allows me to share things with others that I think will help guide and direct people to look at life in a different way. And it doesn't feel hard. It doesn't feel forced. I don't sit down and I'm like, oh, another podcast. Like, no, I just genuinely enjoy it. You know, I genuinely enjoy sharing these things and getting messages from people out there and hearing feedback. And also just releasing it, you know, and that's just a piece of what I love doing and a piece of, you know, my higher purpose in life, so to speak. But to get clear on it is so important, because if you're just going about life aimlessly and you have no sense, you have no direction, well, then you're going to be depressed because life is a weird thing, you know, and it's the people that figure out a system that works for them that can still change over time, but a system that works for them or a way to make sense of the world. When you can start to lift some of that depression. If you don't have any sense of the world's going to be nonsense. Seriously. If you have no sense, or if your sense is based on what you were told to believe, you know, if you grew up religious and your sense is based on just God and that religion, maybe that's your sense, but then you spend your whole life battling that because you saw all the weird things about it or whatever it is. Or if you take a scientific approach, your sense might be about trying to explain the world scientifically, but there's no solace in that. There's no, like, There's nothing really comforting about a lot of traditional science and the way it sees the world. It's kind of like sad and bleak and depressing. Now, there are new science coming out with quantum physics and all these things that changes that. But I think having a system that makes sense to you is important. And there's something really fun about finding that. Like, I'm still figuring it out for me, but to me, it's the journey. To me, actually going on the journey and figuring out what all those different things are, that honestly is where I receive so much joy. It's the journey that I'm on that is taking me to these wild places. It's like when I you know, and when I was in college, I had no purpose. Most of my life, no purpose, no direction, no sense of anything, no passion, no nothing. And when music came into my life, it was like this crazy thing, because one day it just happened. In an instant, I just knew my whole life was going to be different. And there's been times since then where I've gotten really depressed and down. And I remember I used to say, you know what? If I'm down, I'm not going to force it. I'm not going to pretend like everything's okay and put on a happy face. I'm just going to lie and sit in bed. And I would sit in bed depressed for days sometimes. And I said, in the back of my mind, though, I said, you know what? If I'm meant to get out of bed, something is going to get me out of bed and something's going to shift. And lo and behold, over time, it did. And then one day something happened and it was like, okay, this is it. Because I had to honor that feeling. I had to sit with the depression. I had to sit with the sadness and allow myself to feel it and allow myself to accept that that might be it. There's a lot of people out there doing, you know, motivation, self-help and all this stuff. And a lot of it is like this positive thinking and, you know, you got to train your mind. And there's a lot of beautifulness to that. But there's also something that's guiding you that's bigger than that. And this is where purpose also comes in. You can call it God, you can call it the universe, higher consciousness, higher self, whatever you want. There's something that's guiding you, and you just have to get out of your own way. You know, if you're depressed and you're stuck in this loop, that's okay. That's a good place to start, because your whole life can be around getting out of that and inspiring other people to get out of it too, because you're not the only person out there. I can promise you this. Not only are you not the only person out there that's struggling, that's depressed, that's lost, that has no passion, but there are millions and millions and millions of people just like you who are trying to figure it out too. And there are also millions and billions of people who have been there as well and have found ways out, like myself. And I still go through it. You know, I'm still figuring it out myself. But every day I'm learning new things. And it's the journey of saying, okay, who am I? What is my purpose here? That is what drives me. Figuring it out, it's fun. It forces me to read books, to meet new people, to try new things. And it takes time, but it will take you on this amazing journey, because there are other people out there who are lost and confused. That's a great place to be. It's much worse to be in a place where you think you have the answers and, you know, you're pretending that you're not miserable. Like a lot of people, they're like, yeah, I just got to keep it up. You know, I got to keep my job up. I got to put on the smiley face and put on the suit and just go to work and everything's okay. It's okay. It's okay. And you're lying to yourself. So being honest and knowing that you're in this place is a great place to start, because then you have the rest of your life to figure it out. And what else is life other than going through these experiences, getting to know who we are? Like I said earlier in this podcast, you know, spending most of my life being oblivious to everything and then one day becoming self-aware, and I'm like, damn, I'm this kid who's got issues and problems and insecurities and fears, and now I got to figure it out. So the rest of my life has been devoted to understanding those fears, understanding those issues, understanding the things that are wrong with me and channeling them and switching them around and turning them into something that is so, so, so much more powerful, something that I can use, something that I can share with people to inspire others to tap into their own power. That was fun. Love you guys. And again, thank you for writing in. And you can always write in if you want. You enjoy life music. That would be my email. You enjoy life music@gmail.com. And I'd love to hear from you. And I'll see you soon.